I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., joins us as he does every Wednesday at this hour. Michael, welcome to the show. Yep. All right. We got a little bit of a technical difficulty. We'll get him right back on here in a second. In the second half of this hour, we're going to visit with C. Scott Kennedy, owner of Tombola Strategy. They've released a white paper addressing risk rating 2.0 impacts on premium affordability relative to your flood insurance. Hearing a number of horror stories as to the amount of premium that people are facing under this new risk rating 2.0 scheme, some folks as high as $11,000 and $12,000 for flood insurance alone, making home ownership in some areas really cost prohibitive when you look at the increases in homeowner insurance policies across the region. I was talking to someone this morning whose rate went up 80%. When you start thinking about that, I have a similar experience, not that high, but it gets to be a little bit cost prohibitive. We'll visit with C. Scott Kennedy in the second half of this hour. We got Michael Heck back. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Sorry about that false start. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself? How was the London trip? How did it work out? I know you guys hosted a number of things out there in the hopes of having folks invest here in our area. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was a good trip. It was a short trip for me, but the meetings that were had, including the one the governor had with Lloyd's of London and with energy companies like Cheniere, are significant. Lloyd's of London, that kind of speaks to the second conversation they're going to have with Scott Kennedy. We're trying to understand our insurance situation here, particularly in South Louisiana, and it's about flood insurance, it's about PNC, and trying to understand how we can bring in more insurers and more reinsurers so that we can actually live here in an affordable way. So those meetings were useful. Talking about natural gas is obviously a huge opportunity for us here in Louisiana, trying to wean Europe and Germany particularly off of Russian natural gas. Big opportunity for Louisiana as we already supply about 55% of the LNG that goes over to Europe. And then, of course, we had the game. And, you know, the game itself didn't work out that well. But I got to tell you, it was kind of great being there. It was basically a home game. 60,000 fans, probably 59,000 of them, seemed to be from New Orleans. And it was kind of nice watching the game outside, you know, having the sun in your eyes and the breeze in your hair. So it was a good short trip, but productive both personally and professionally.
And then you had the double doink field goal right at the end. You talk about have a heart attack. I mean, it was like,
well, you know, Newell, we've been spoiled. You know, we got so used to during the Drew Brees era that we would have these games. They would come down to the final 2 minutes, and we would win. And that was just like how we rolled. And so when it doesn't happen like that now, you know, it's heartbreaking. But I'll tell you, the real thing that I was frustrated with, and I think a lot of folks are, is the refereeing. And what I can't understand for the life of me is that you've got a league where you have these teams that are worth billions of dollars, very wealthy owners, and yet somehow we don't employ and pay full-time referees. And then we complain about the quality and the lack of consistency with the reffing and these calls like the PIs, which can totally change a game in an arbitrary way. And it just seems with a league with that much value, you would, you know, find your cadre of professional referees and pay them enough to just be the very best in the world and do nothing but that. But Instead, we get part-time CPAs and, you know, as a result, get some pretty sketchy calls.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, give us an update as to the NOLA coalition. We had an individual on yesterday, was really good from, oh, I forgot the name of his company.
Arnold Baker, just, right?
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I was trying to remember the name of his company. But anyway, did a really great job talking about why he's involved, his feelings about the coalition. And if he's any indication as to the sentiment of other members, we're in a good place.
Well, I think we're in a good place because the citizens have come together and are speaking with one voice again. And look, I think, you know, well before the NOLA coalition came together, you were talking about this, Newell, the need for the citizens of New Orleans and the region to stand shoulder to shoulder and start demanding accountability and start demanding better results. And I think the reason why the NOLA coalition has grown so quickly, I mean, we're almost up to 450 members now. We just broke 200 on the nonprofit side, is because there was this pent-up demand, this pent-up energy, and we just kind of provided a vessel for people to pour this energy into. And leaders like Arnold Baker are, you know, just indicative of the type and quality of individual who are part of this. I could see once we get through this rough patch on crime, the NOLA coalition going on and becoming a force in other areas where we have to stand together on infrastructure, on mental health services, on any reform where together we're going to be able to drive action and we're not going to let politics or social media divide us any longer.
Yeah. We obviously are facing a number of challenges. The mayor is sending a lot of mixed messages, Michael, on many different fronts. A new police monitor report comes out. In many cases, this is kind of getting dicey. Your thoughts?
Well, the enemy of business is uncertainty. And when you think about some of the places that are doing best in the country today, they're not the most exciting places. They're places like Charlotte or Plano, Texas, but they're certain and they're steady. And so I think the more that we can do to calm down the noise and just focus on the fundamentals, which are our public safety and education and infrastructure, and putting out a positive narrative about all the extraordinary elements of New Orleans that the world loves, the better. All of these reports and mixed messages, which are just, you know, absolute catnip to social media and, you know, the Twitterati, they're not helpful, because every time we're having to spend our mental energy or discussing or talking them away, it means that we're not telling the positive story or working on progress. So, yeah, I would love for this to settle down and to be able to get back to the day job.
You know, earlier in the show, I talked about the Good Morning America interview with the mayor. And all she did was place blame. And my observations were, if you're going to be a credible leader, you have to put politics aside, your feelings about individuals, personal differences aside. You got to bring everybody together. We got to be singing off the same sheet of music. We're not right now. And I just think this divisive tone that's being articulated by this mayor, it will continue to be a problem. And, you know, I just don't understand why we just can't admit where some of our failures are individually and collectively. That's fair. And move on.
Well, it's a very American thing, and I would hazard, you know, a very Catholic thing to forgive for mistakes and sins. And so, yeah, sometimes just saying, you know, in retrospect, that wasn't the right thing to do, we should just move on, is really all that people want. I don't think that folks, from me talking to them, are enjoying the constant stream. They're not enjoying the pile on. But you also have to give people a plausible out. And that plausible out, I think, sometimes is saying we could have done better and we're going to going forward and just stepping it up like that. So, no, you're not wrong. And I know that in this city, what we're seeing here, and this is a bigger issue, is really a structural issue. We have a strong mayor city, and so the mayor and the governor, and as a strong governor state, really matter a lot. And you look at some other places around the country that are doing very well, whether it's Dallas or San Antonio or Raleigh or Phoenix, and they have more of a city manager system where the mayor is still there and is absolutely the figurehead, but there is a professional who is doing the day-to-day management of making the trains run on time, literally and figuratively. And so I think once we get through this patch, we also should start thinking about structurally, are there things we can do differently in this city to make the conversation that you or I are having right now less important, so we can focus more on the actual issues of running the city on a day-to-day basis?
Because not only do we have domestic challenges here in the region, we have challenges at the state level, we have challenges nationally and internationally. In spite of what is somewhat of a positive economic outlook, you talk about that, the most recent findings of Lauren Scott, the economist, about job growth here, 12,200 jobs over the next 2 years. There are indicators that we're going to have additional challenges. In fact, the World Trade Organization just this morning downgraded their growth rate from 3.4% down to 1%. And they said the global economy is slowing at a faster rate than many had expected. These are headwinds that we are going to be facing. And the best way for us to beat back on those headwinds, as you well know, is to do it collectively and collaboratively together.
That's right. I think the most frustrating thing at the local and regional level, Newell, is that if you look out objectively at the opportunity that we have in trade with building the new container facility, at energy with the potential for us to lead in offshore wind, at advanced manufacturing with everything that's going on at Mishu, in healthcare with the emergence of us as a center for neurological care, even with tech, where we're one of the most inclusive tech economies in the country. There's a lot that you could argue there's more to be optimistic about than there even was coming out of Katrina when we had that great momentum. But we're spending a lot of time playing defense on issues like public safety and quality of life and our brand. And so it's a very strange world, because when people ask me, how's it going, I say locally, you know, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And if we can accentuate the positive and mitigate the negatives, we should be on a great trajectory. But then in terms of the uncertainty nationally and internationally, there's no doubt that we're going through change as a country and as a world. And, you know, these big changes tend to happen every 70 or 80 years. I mean, you can do the math and figure out what happened 70 or 80 years ago. And so I think the best thing that we can be doing here locally is getting our house in order, getting our balance sheet in order, getting our strategy set so we can take advantage of these changes. You know, an example of this is the changes coming out of COVID. Those communities, the smaller ones, secondary and tertiary, that have a good brand, that have good value for dollar, are attracting scores of workers that are leaving places like New York City and San Francisco because they can't stand living there anymore. Those places are taking advantage of this turbulence. And so I think that's what I'd love us to be in position to locally and as a state, is to be in a position to take advantage of these changing world trends. For example, the repatriation of supply chain, so that we can emerge from this turbulence in an even better place.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all of the assets that we have, from the port, what we do in the Gulf, how that translates into the wind, other folks just don't know how to do offshore construction like we do. There's so many opportunities for us here locally. And you're right. I believe, just as you said, when we go through the list, there are more opportunities than there are deficiencies that we face. But the problem, and I think the frustrating thing, and I think you'll agree, where we're missing is like some of the easiest stuff to connect the dots on. And it mystifies me.
Well, it's the blocking and tackling stuff. I mean, you could build this stuff in a pyramid. All the opportunities that we talked about are dependent upon having the lowest level of Maslow's, you know, hierarchy in place, which is basically life safety. And so we got to get that stuff locked down, and then the opportunities are going to happen Naturally. I mean, look, the definition of economic development that I like to use is that it's not about incentives. It's not about ribbon cuttings. It's about creating the conditions where a business wants to invest its capital and a person wants to raise their family. If you get that stuff on lock, then all your challenges are going to be growth challenges, right? Too many people,
right.
You know, too much. And look, I would much rather have growth challenges than stagnation challenges. So, yeah, it's back to basics. And most of these challenges are not challenges of ideas. They're not challenges of money. They're challenges of organization and execution.
Michael, real quick, some reporting in and around DXC Technology not reaching their initial target. As I was reading through some of the articles that were written, I, like you, probably feel like, well, we're still ahead of the game. I mean, they decided, as you just pointed out, to invest their money, move people here, hire people here. It's still a positive.
Yeah. Well, if I told you, just up front that we have a multi-billion-dollar company moving in here and they're going to put in 300 jobs at an average salary of $93,000 a pop, translating over $3 million in tax revenue every year for the city and state, and you'd say, man, that's great news. That's a home run. The only problem is this thing got framed as 2,000 jobs, and on that current trajectory, they would have been at about 1,200 now, not 300. So, look, it is fair to call it a disappointment in that relative context. You know, it is. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we are very fortunate to have this company here committed to the city and region. It has plans to grow. And it's just the reality of the world we live in today that you mentioned, all the turbulence that they went through, a corporate restructuring, COVID hit. Not as many people are going to the office, so they're getting rid of some of the floors. And reality is that folks at the local and state level have been working with DXC very hard to make sure that they're now stable and positioned to grow. So just important to understand both sides of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We join back with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, the Ida disaster relief bill has passed, and it's quite a bit of money here for us locally.
Yeah, it's a $2 billion relief bill for the 21-22 disasters. The significance of it is that it explicitly allows utilities like Entergy to use this money. Typically or previously, for-profit utilities like Entergy would not be able to get federal relief money, so they would just have to ask the ratepayers, us, to pay the full freight of the disaster. But now that this funding round will allow Entergy to use the money, it should reduce the costs that are going to be passed on to you and me and the people of New Orleans and Louisiana.
That's important in light of some of the early reports coming out of Florida that they had actually hardened the distribution transmission line corridors and otherwise there in Florida. And early indications were that they were able to restore energy relatively quick.
Yeah, if you look at Tampa and that area, the lines that were underground, not surprisingly, did well. And so it is important that we have funding available to mitigate and bury. And if there is going to be something passed on to the ratepayers, I would much rather that be money to harden our system instead of just recover a system that's going to be vulnerable again. So the fact that now that for-profit utilities can get the support actually is significant, and hopefully we can now turn our attention to hardening so that we can get our power back on quickly like they did in lots of parts of western Florida.
And I'm sure you are responsible for coining the name of this new initiative, Newbie to Nurse. Tell us about that.
I am. Well, I'd had a cup of coffee when I was sending these notes to you, and Newbie to Nurse just came to mind, and before anybody could stop me, I texted you, and now it's on air when hundreds of thousands of people are listening to us. Basically, you know, as we know, there's a big crisis, always has been, in the healthcare sector. There's a particular need for licensed practical nurses, but soon there's going to be a free three-year path to becoming an LPN starting in the 11th grade. It's going to be developed by the Delgado Charity School of Nursing, Ochsner Health, and the New Orleans Career Center. There's going to be a recruiting. The recruiting is going to start in January. So anybody that wants to know more about becoming a licensed practical nurse, an LPN, can go to the Delgado or the New Orleans Career Center or the Ochsner websites.
We need to do more of this, right?
We do. I think that we're very clever. We're like a Latter-day Smothers Brothers. People are really appreciating this. Right now, Newell, there are people going over to the causeway, driving across that long bridge, just going over the edge because they can't take it anymore. And I apologize. It's not fair to put you in this position.
As always, I love it. Michael, you have a special guest today on a very important issue, by the way.
Yeah, this is a great one, and you know, Newell, like you're pretty smart. I'm pretty smart, but then there's Scott Kennedy smart, and he is our guest today. Fascinating guy. He just wrote a very extensive white paper for us on the National Flood Insurance Program and particularly risk rating 2.0. Scott is a Louisiana native, but then got to Washington D.C. by way of Malawi. In sub-Saharan Africa, where he was raised. He worked for Congressman Richard Baker. He worked in HUD. What they say that, you know, you've got the brains, we've got the looks. Scott's definitely got the brains. We're trying to figure out the second part, but it's great to have Scott with us to talk about his
Scott,
paper.
God bless you, my friend. Scott, God bless you.
Well, thank you. I was... My wife did tell me this morning. She said, "You know, you do have the face and personality for radio. So, I'm just happy to be here with you guys and talk about the work that we did, because I think it's going to be really important, particularly for Southeast Louisiana and for every community where access to the National Flood Insurance Program makes the difference in after a disaster, whether or not you can rebuild your home or rebuild your business." How quickly your kids can get back to school and how quickly you can get back to work. So it's an important program and it's important work, and I've appreciated the opportunity to work with GNO Inc. now a couple of times on this issue.
So you analyzed the impacts of this new risk rating 2.0 initiative by FEMA, and you looked at several states as well. What did you take away from your findings?
Sure, that's a great question. I think there are four main things that I would like folks to take away from the research that we've done. First is that we verified and validated that there is overwhelming evidence that the cost of flood insurance is directly related to the amount of flood insurance that's purchased and the number of flood insurance policies that are purchased on an annual basis. That price really, really does matter. This is a problem because NFIP's kind of gone all in on the use of price and premium increases so that people can understand their flood risk. And this is counterintuitive and counterproductive. It drives people out of the program. That was a major finding. Second is that under this new rating system, most policyholders are going to see a significant increase in their full risk premium. We looked at how FEMA has set up risk rating 2.0 premium calculations. Then we looked at other third parties who were reputable, who had done a lot of this work. And what we found is that most flood insurance premiums are deficient, and there's a range by how much they need to increase. There was reports in Louisiana that FEMA has found that on average flood insurance premiums need to increase by 122% to be actuarially sound under this new system. Other people who have used a similar methodology say nationwide that premiums are going to need to increase by 450%. So both of those are a lot more than what people are paying now, and that really plays back into that issue of price. The third thing is what I would say is kind of some of the program guardrails that GNO Inc., working with our Louisiana congressional delegation back in 2014 to put in place, particularly on premium increases, are kind of gone. They applied to the old rating system, and risk rating 2.0 is a new rating system, and the only guardrail that applies to it is the 18% cap on annual premium increases. And so that's a big change, and that has public policy implications. It has implications at the household level. And because of that and the rate of increases and things like there's just a lot that's unknown. And we need people to buy flood insurance. We need to know what FEMA is going to do in terms of its annual premium increase. And we need to know where they want to end up. So what I say that is we need to know where they're going to go. And how they're going to go to get there, because that really makes an impact in our communities, helps property owners need that information to be able to prepare for what's coming.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation after we get to a break. We're visiting with C. Scott Kennedy, owner of Tombola Strategy. We'll be right back. We're talking about risk rating 2.0, your flood insurance policies, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with C. Scott Kennedy, owner of Tombola Strategy. They did a white paper addressing risk rating 2.0 impacts on premium affordability on behalf of GNO Inc., and Michael Heck joins us as well. Scott, if market penetration is going to be the driving force relative to pricing of premiums here, what's the best course of action to market this? I mean, there's been a reluctance. A lot of people are willing to take the risk. They don't. They didn't buy it at $400 or $350. What makes FEMA think they're going to buy it at, $3,000 or $800 or anything north of that number?
No, that's a great question. I'm sure it's one that Michael has asked. Why did we need a paper like this to answer a question like that? The number one thing we need is people in this program. We have to remember that every premium dollar that goes into the National Flood Insurance Program is one less dollar that has to be appropriated from the U.S. Treasury for disaster response. It means that people get back on their feet a lot quicker. You talked about Hurricane Ida recovery money. How long ago was Hurricane Ida? That's a long, long wait for assistance. That's a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
And the NFIP program helps cut through that. We can get people back on their feet. And so one of the things that we're looking at is we're suggesting that we should put some of these guardrails back in. Put some of these guardrails back in that keep people in the program. One of them is a 9% annual premium increase cap that you can increase anywhere between 1 to 9% annually. And then second is some people are just going to be they need the coverage, but they're not going to be able to afford it. And so we need Congress to pass legislation to establish a flood insurance affordability program that helps people who are really faced with that decision that you're talking about, where how can I pay for this? I can't pay for my house. I can't pay for my my kid's school uniform or whatever because they got the flood insurance bill. Gives them an opportunity to get the coverage and to keep it affordable for them and for their particular situation. So those are a couple of things that we've suggested. We've suggested some other things, but those are two big ones that we believe affect the participation variable that you talked about.
Have we looked at the math behind whether or not if by policy we made this mandatory if you had a mortgage on your property?
So those are always interesting questions about how do we expand participation and can we expand participation through the use of policy levers like that. So if you have a mortgage, no matter where you are, you have to have the coverage. So on paper, that sounds like a good plan. As somebody who advanced in Congress some legislative proposals along those lines, I still have the scars from those debates. People aren't very excited about that. But what we do see is a little more subtle use of that policy lever, of that mandatory purchase policy lever. So, for example, if after the 2016 floods in Southeast Louisiana, you accepted Restore program money or federal assistance to repair your home, then you're required to have flood insurance on that property going forward. So that is an effect and expansion of the mandatory flood purchase requirement. It just uses a little bit of a different mechanism, and people seem more open and accepting of that because your property has indeed actually sustained flood loss. Because people, and we discussed this in the paper, and I won't bore you with it, although I recommend it to you. The decision-making process to purchase flood insurance is very, very interesting, makes for very interesting reading. And there are a lot of reasons why people buy, and then there are a lot of reasons why people choose not to. And we want more people to buy.
No, absolutely. Michael, final thoughts?
It's an outstanding paper, and if you're a little bit intimidated by this whole conversation and the man C. Scott Kennedy, there's a summary that's one page, which is what people like me and Newell use. It's at csfi.info. That's Coalition for Sustainable Flood Insurance. It's csfi.info. Please have a look and know that Gianna Wink and the Coalition for Sustainable Flood Insurance are going to keep fighting for affordable insurance for Louisiana.
And that's why Scott made straight A's and you and I made C's. We were average. We studied
thank you,
the
John,
summary. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate all the work that you've done on this endeavor. And Michael, same to you. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Scott.
We'll be right
thank
back.
You both.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.